it does struggle with the mind. So yesterday we had we heard from Jai Bhadra Mataji. Why is the door closed? We heard from Jai Bhadra Mataji that Lord Vishnu appeared as who? Kamadev. And Kamadev in a certain area, which is a bit difficult to pronounce. Ketuman worship. And what was he doing there? He was worship, enjoying the worship that he was receiving. And there were more personalities there. Were more personalities there. Which personalities were there? Yes, a lot of sons and daughters of Prajapati. They were like 36,000. That's a lot of sons and daughters. And of course also where Vishnu is, there is also Lakshmi Devi. So Lakshmi Devi was there, the sons and daughters of Prajapati were there, and they all wanted to worship Kamadev. Vishnu's form is Kamadev. So we'll continue with what is going on over there. Text 16 is a text without purport, so I'll read that, and then we'll continue to text 17, which we can read together. It's also prose, text 16, so I'll try to make it palatable for your ears. Ativa sulalita gativilasha vilasita ruchirahasa lesha valoka lilaya kinchitutambhita sundara brumandala subhagavadanaravinda shriya ramam ramayan indriyani ramayate. It's not so nice, but okay, what to do. In Ketumala Varsha, Lord Kamadev Prajumna moves very graciously. So he doesn't walk like an elephant, but he moves very graciously. His mild smile is very beautiful. And when he increases the beauty of his eye, of his face by slightly raising his eyebrows and glancing playfully, he pleases the goddess of fortune. Thus he enjoys his transcendental senses. So here, it's mentioned that the beauty of the face is increased by the slightly raising of his eyebrows. So it's not like we put a lot of makeup and stuff on it. He just moves his eyebrows and the beauty of his face is raised. So nice, huh? And he glances playfully. I think it's the same glance as you have, I think. Bit nice, bit pleasing glance. So this is the attractiveness of Lord Vishnu. So in this way he pleases the goddess of fortune and he enjoys his transcendental senses. And that happens all in Ketumala Varsha. So we'll continue to text 17. Tad bhagavato maya mayam rupam parama Samadhi yogena. Is that because of me? Rama Devi samvatsarasya ratrisho prajapatir duhitribhir upatahashu chatat bhratribhir upaste idam chodaharati. So please repeat after me. Tad bhagavato mayamayam rupam parama samadhi yogena rama devi samvatsarasya ratrishu prajapate duhi tribhir upate upetahasu chatat bhatrirbhir upaste idam chodahariti. So continue here. Tad bhagavato mayamayam rupam parama samadhi. Yogena Rama Devi Samvatsarasya Ratrishu Prajapate Duhi Tribhirupetahashu Tadbhatribhir upaste idam chodaharati tad bhagavato mayamayam rupam parama samadhi yogena rama devi samvatsarasya Ratrishu prajapate duhi tribhir upetaha suchatat bhatribhir upaste idam chodaharati. Any more questions? Yes, Tamara? Tad bhagavato mayamayam rupam parama samadhi yogena rama devi samavatsarasya. Radheshu prajapati duhi tribhir Ita sucha tadhatribhir upaste idam chodaharati. Anyone else? Okay. That Bhagavata of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya mayam, full of affection for the devotees. Rupam, form. Parama, highest. Samadhi yogena, by absorption of the mind in the service of the Lord. Rama, the goddess of fortune. Devi, divine woman. Samvatsarasya, known as Samvatsara. Ratrishu, during the nights. Prajapate of Prajapati, Duhitribhi, with the daughters, Upeta, combined, Ahasu, during the days, Cha, also, Tadbhartribhi, with the husbands, Upaste, worships, Idam, this, Cha, also, Udaharati, chants. Translation. Accompanied during the daytime by the sons of the Prajapati, the predominating deities of the days, and accompanied at night by his daughters, the deities of the nights, Lakshmi Devi worships the Lord during the period known as the Samvatsara in his most merciful form as Kamdev. Fully absorbed in devotional service, she chants the following mantras. So, please repeat. Accompanied during the daytime by the sons of the Prajapati, the predominating deities of the days, and accompanied at night by his daughters, the deities of the nights, Lakshmi Devi worships the Lord during the period known as the Samvatsara in his most merciful form as Kamdev. Fully absorbed in devotional service, she chants the following mantras. Is the purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. The word maya mayam used in this verse should not be understood according to the interpretations of the mayavadis. Maya means affection as well as illusion. That's strange, huh? When a mother deals with her child affectionately, she is called Mayamai. In whatever form the Supreme Lord Vishnu appears, he is always affectionate toward his devotees. Thus the word Mayamayam is used here to mean very affectionate toward the devotees. Srila Jiva Goswami writes in this regard that Mayamayam can also mean Kripa Prachuram, deeply merciful. Similarly, Srila Veera Raghav says, Maya Prachura, Maya Prachura Natmiya Sankalpena Parigrihitam Iti Artha Jnana Paryayo Atra Maya Shabda. When one is very affectionate due to an intimate relationship, one is described as Maya Mai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains mayamayam by dividing it into the words maya and amayam. He explains these words to indicate that because the living entity is covered by the disease of illusion, the Lord is always eager to deliver his devotee from the clutches of maya and cure him of the disease caused by the illusory energy. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnanandana Sulakaya Chakshurun Hulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So in Ketu Mala Varsha, Lord Kamadev Prajumna moves very graciously. His mild smile is very beautiful. And when he increases the beauty of his face by slightly raising his eyebrows and glancing playfully, he pleases the goddess of fortune. Thus he enjoys his transcendental senses. Accompanied during the daytime by the sons of the Prajapati, the predominating deities of the days, and accompanied at night by his daughters, the deities of the nights, Lakshmi Devi worships the Lord during the period known as the Samvatsara in his most merciful form as Kamadev. Fully absorbed in devotional service, she chants the following mantras, which we will hear next time when we have Bhagavatam reading. So there are a few remarkable things here. First, I will start with an easy one. Lakshmi Devi worships the Lord during the period known as the Samvatsara. So I was thinking that Samvatsara was one of those months, because the months have Sanskrit names, so it could be one of those months. You know. But it was a bit confusing when I was looking up what Samvatsara means, because Samvatsara is not the name of a month. It's actually the wheel of the sun god. So the sun god has a chariot, and that chariot has only one wheel, and that wheel is called Samvatsara, and its spokes, the wheel has spokes, and these spokes are the 12 months. So there are 12 spokes, and these spokes are 12 months. So my conclusion would be that Samvatsara is a year. That's fine, but when I was looking further, it was mentioned that the Samvatsaras are the daughters of Prajapati. And I got confused, because how are the daughters of Prajapati Samvatsara? And I think I was, preparing the text for today, and the daughters of Prajapati were also mentioned here in this text. But the daughters of Prajapati are in total how many? Yes, because yes, and they are the predominating deities of the nights. But and why are they 36,000 in total? For each day there is one son, and for each night there is one of the daughters, and in total we have 36,000 of day and night. So how many years would that be? 100. So normally in this age we hope to achieve 100, but the maximum duration, of course there are some exceptions here and there, is approximately 100. So each day we finish with actually the worship of one of the sons of Prajapati, and each night we finish with the worship of one of the daughters, and we go on to the next one until it's finished. So that means that Samvatsara is indicating a certain period. And it's true when Vanipedia helped me a lot with this. So the progress of time is also mentioned as Samvatsara. So Samvatsara is also called the day-by-day progress, the month-by-month progress, the year-by-year progress, and actually also the life-by-life progress. So it's our progress related to a certain time. Also, kal, and the time is called samvatsara, a period of time or time itself. So I was mentioning about the sun god. So also the sun and the orbit that he is making in the three worlds, one of those orbits, there are five names for that orbit, and one of those names is samvatsara, and the other one is parivatsara, then idavatsara, anuvatsara, and vatsara. So the orbit that the sun makes throughout the three worlds, one of them is called samvatsara. So how long Vishnu was enjoying there, it's not clearly to say. But he was enjoying during a certain period of time. The other amazing thing what I discovered in this text, and also you, I think, that Prabhupada says the word mayamayam used in this verse should not be understood according to the interpretation of the Mayavadis. Maya means affection as well as illusion. So, okay, you can say, okay, when there is too much affection, you can have a certain illusion, so that it's related. But here it is mentioned that when a mother deals with her child affectionately, she is called Maya Mai. In whatever form the Supreme Lord Vishnu appears, he is always affectionate towards his devotees. Yeah. So the word Maya Mayam is used here to mean very affectionate towards the devotees. So the Lord Vishnu is mayamayam towards us. So he is using maya not to put us in illusion, but to transfer his affection. So then all of a sudden my head started spinning, and then I was like, oh, so maybe maya is not that bad. So then I started to come in Maya. Of course, the foundation of Maya Mayam, as mentioned here, the foundation is pure affection, pure well-wishing. So the foundation of Maya is not lust, affection, which is not based on lust, but affection which is based on well-wishing, of love, pure love. And pure love means that when you have a certain relationship and the other person is not behaving or giving or fulfilling your desires, that you impose your desires no matter what, but that you desert your desires, you get rid of your desires, to understand how to still give that loving feeling, affectionate feeling, or maintain that basis of affection. So that is love. And not many of us are able to experience that love, although everybody can experience that through the relationship of which we have with our mother. So the mother is mentioned here as an example in a material world as the one that is letting us taste the maya maya. So it's a very affectionate, intimate, loving exchange. And that Lord Vishnu is bestowing upon us. So how do we taste that? I said, maybe the mother can be one example. But maybe you can give me some examples. How do you think, if you continue to deliberate on that, how do you think that the Lord is also making us experience or taste this very intimate affection of His. Anyone some thoughts, Mataji? So gratitude. So gratitude and appreciation. Anyone else? A relationship with the spiritual master. Yes, that's a very important one. What? How do you feel that? What do you feel there? His love of Krishna. Unselfish. Yes. Okay. So yeah, the way he is guiding us, and his selflessness, and of course the way how Prabhupada did it. Other aspects of the Lord that we see through which he gives us his affection. What about death? Is death an expression of affection of the Lord? Sorry? Okay, yeah, if you're a devotee, you die, or karmi, you die, but you have to die, either way, you die. So, death is also a way to express his affection, because he gives us a chance to progress. If you're a devotee, you get the chance to serve him in another way, sometimes even in his personal leelas. And if you're not a devotee, and you're doing your things in the material world, you have a chance to end certain bad behaviors and get a chance to work again on improving your life. So that's very, very merciful, isn't it? If you continue rotting here in this material world, you don't even know it. And then he comes as Kal, as death. Because he was mentioning the whole time to you, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do these stupid things. And you are maybe addicted or whatever. And he comes with presenting you death. That's very merciful. If you're suffering, then sometimes, you know, this question of, how do you say that? I know the Dutch word, euthanasie, but I don't know the English word about it. Yes? So sometimes when a patient is very, very much suffering and there is little chance of getting better, then they suffer that much that they only pray for death, because death is the one that can help them. So actually that is also the deepness of the misery we are in. And of course we shouldn't now pray every day for death. No, please don't. But we should pray for, you know, his guiding hand, his affection. Because there are other ways in which he expresses his affection. What about disease? Yeah, I'm not very happy today, I'm sorry. But disease is always also a way how he expresses his affection. Not likely, huh? So what is the cause of diseases? Some wrong behavior, some bad karma that we accrued either in this life, previous life, or previous lives before. And actually his mercy is that we get rid of this heavy burden, because we are carrying this burden. And at a certain moment, if we are strong enough, or if we have enough intelligence to cope with this misery or with this bad karma, then it is presented. Sometimes, you know, when we start our devotional life, we're doing nicely, we think, okay, devotional life is about not eating meat. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, it's no problem. Sure. No having illicit sex, fine, you know, I'm not into that, so fine, I can do that. No gambling, I didn't do it, so no problem with that. And what is the other one? No intoxications. I didn't, you know, hang out in bars, so fine, I can do that, no problem. Hey, I can be a devotee. Chanting 16 rounds. Ooh, okay. We can do it. Being nice as a person. Yeah, we can gradually, you know, we all think that we are the nicest person. So, of course, we can do it. So, we can be devotees, isn't it? And then we start our devotional process, but then we get ill. Or we experience some problem. And I know that, especially among the Hindus, it is like when you're doing good things, you know, or you're doing bhakti, you shouldn't get sick, you shouldn't have problems. You are directly protected by the Lord, so you are the one that never has diseases, always has money in the pocket, you know, everything is nice, no disasters. But then we start feeling all kinds of problems. And what happens? Through our intention to please the Lord becomes merciful and he becomes a well-wisher for you, and he sees the heavy things that you are carrying with you throughout your life, and he starts either placing it before you to deal with it so that you can progress to the next level, or he takes it away, or he presents it to you in a lighter form. So disease can be a very, very nice way of him expressing to us how much he loves us. It's not the best way that we want, but still, when Draupadi laughed at Duryodhan, you know that part? When Duryodhan came to admire the castle of Yudhisthira, it was built by my demon in a certain way that it looked like you were entering, you know, like this floor, but it was water. So Duryodhan was admiring the wonderful palace of Yudhisthira, and he thought it was the floor, but it was water. So he fell, and he got wet. And then Draupadi was actually looking from up the balcony, and she started to laugh. So he felt offended. Duryodhan felt offended. So he became angry and so on. There was a whole thing after that. But At a certain point, Yudhisthira chastised Draupadi. He said, you shouldn't offend a guest in your house. But then Draupadi said, I'm very, very sorry, but it was kind of a hilarious situation, so I couldn't control myself and started to laugh. And yeah, he felt offended. So, and then Draupadi said, I'm very, very sorry. I will try to control myself more. And so Yudhisthira said, you cannot excuse every offense of you by saying sorry. There are three ways to do penance of your mistake. One is to say sorry. One is to do tapasya. For example, I have made an offense toward Mataji. So one thing is I say sorry, but depending of the offense, there is a deeper offense. You know, I have hurt her much deeper, so she will say, well, I don't accept your sorry. It's too much for me. So then I will have to try to serve her, or do some tapasya which pleases her. I can ask her, Mataji, how can I, please you? Please, let me know. Then she will say, okay, I want you to stand 5 nights outside. Okay, I'll do that. So, that if that will please her, then I have to do that. That is the way how I will make up for the bad karma that I have developed or the offense that I have done to her. And the third thing is, that we go to a court and that there is justice done. Like a murderer cannot say, like a murderer of a child, cannot come go to the mother and say, oh, I'm sorry. Oops. Yeah. It's not like that. The mother will not be pleased. Will not say, oh, okay, yeah, sure, fine. Or you cannot say, okay, you can please me by doing. It's so intense, it's so deep, it's so harsh, the offense, that there has to be proper justice. And sometimes the sentence of the justice is death penalty, isn't it? Or lifelong imprisonment. So there are three ways in which we have to atone for our misdeeds. And these three ways, only Krishna knows. We also know when we get the proper knowledge. We also know that if I steal something from someone, or if I hurt someone deliberately with the proper knowledge, then there is a heavier way of which we will have to do penance for it. So there are three ways. And one of the ways that we feel the mercy of the Lord is by having diseases, meeting with problems, and of course sometimes lose our life during a certain, there is a collective karma which we can have when we go in an airplane which crashes. No, well, everybody that deserved a certain way of death comes together, they go on a plane. Like this a helicopter crash in London a few days ago in the middle of the city. One person said he came too late for his work because there was a traffic jam. And where the helicopter crashed, there were also people killed. He didn't come in time, so he was safe. So this is the way that the Lord presents his very deep affection for us. Very deep affection. And he presents the problems at the moment that we can digest it. I will give you an example. But first I will ask you to remember which examples we know from the Shastras where the Lord was expressing his affection. One could be Dhruva Maharaj, isn't it? How did he experience the affection of the Lord? That was so nice. He worshipped the Lord. The Lord said, oh, I'm pleased. Here, take a peanut. Dhruva Lord. Even that, his gatekeeper. But of course, there were some incidents why he instigated Dhruva Maharaj to do this worship, because his mother, his stepmother, was very mean, and she sent him away, and so on. The other one that was very fortunate is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was so dedicated in his worship and remembrance of the Lord and his faith in the Lord, that Lord Narsingadev appeared. A special form of the Lord was just appearing. Never before was such a form visible. Because when he was finished with Hiranyakashipu, all the devis and the devtas, they came to have darshan of this very, very special form. And that was all due to Prahlad, you know. So that was also very, very merciful. He came he appeared to please Devaki, to please his devotees. Why? What are the other reasons why he appears? Sambhavani yuge yuge. So the first reason why he comes is paritranaya sadhana, to protect his devotees. The other reasons, vinashaya duskritam, to kill the demons and to establish dharma, he has his agents for that. You know, he doesn't come to kill every demon himself. You know, he's God. He has his people, you know, to do these things. But he comes primarily to protect his devotees. And that is what you see. Each form that he takes, it is because he wants to protect his devotee. Because his devotee has a personal relationship. If you have a personal relationship with someone, then you feel trust, you know. Like Santusha and myself, she has a personal relationship with me. And if she wants protection, then I can send someone else to protect her, you know. But she expects the protection that I can give on that moment. And it's not substitutable. You cannot substitute it. So, of course, in this case, Santusha will be protecting me, not I will have protecting her, but anyway. So, just to say that the relationship that we have is very personal. So one of the ways that we also experience affection of the Lord is through relationships. Because through relationships, we feel hatred, we feel envy, then there are problems, then we can dissolve the problems. And, you know, through relationships, we can feel love, we can feel well-wishing, we can feel so many mercy. You know, like you were mentioning, Rick, about the guru. You feel the mercy because we are so fallen. We have so much dirt inside of our heart, and such an elevated person is willing to spend his time, his energy, and so on just to help you, guide you, and to bring you to a higher level. You know, and why would he do that? You know, why would he do that? Just because he feels the same love as Krishna is feeling for us. So these are the ways that there is intimate affection. In the case of, I just want to tell short lila related to this. Because when the Pandavas won the war of Kurukshetra, but when they won the war, how were they feeling? Not so good. Why not? They had won, you know, it was a big battle, it was very tense, and, you know, they could lose their life, and, you know, many of their side lost their lives too, isn't it? So why didn't they? Because when we have a battle, one is the winner and one is the loser. The loser feels bad if he survives, and the winner feels happy, isn't it? But they didn't feel like that. That's strange, strange winners, because they were actually feeling very morose, because they were not fighting the war to prove their power or to prove their superiority. Yeah, you know, I showed them, you know, I was stronger. You see, Duryodhan, yeah, now you suffer. No, it was not like that. It was Duryodhan, you were my brother, you know. But I had to do this because this is my dharma. My dharma is to protect justice. So I did my dharma. They were satisfied because they were pleasing the Lord. And when the Lord is pleased, you are pleased because the Lord is in your heart, so you are pleased. So they were pleased, they were satisfied, but they were not jubilant. They were not happy, you know. They knew, I did my dharma, I am peaceful, I am satisfied. But they were not happy. So when they killed everybody, including the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, and I just mentioned, when a child is killed, even though the child is not small or big, you know, doesn't matter. For a parent, the child is a child. So when the child gets killed, what happens? There is deep misery, isn't it? Deep misery in the heart of the parent. And when they went to see Dhritarashtra, because, you know, Dhritarashtra was the king, but also their uncle, and they also felt compassion for him because they knew he would be suffering. His 100 sons, not one survived. Not one. All of them, not one, you know, was left alive. All of them were killed. How should he be feeling? So they went to him, not to, you know, express like, okay, you know, we are the winners. You go out of this castle now. We are now here. We should be the rulers. They went to Dhritarashtra to express that they are, you know, also suffering because they lost their cousins, they lost their grandfather, Bhishma, they lost their teachers, and so on. But Dhritarashtra, did he feel the same way? Dhritarashtra was super angry, super, super angry. It's anger that we cannot imagine, it's beyond our imagination. So Dhritarashtra was so angry, and because he was blind, he had a special skill that his arms were very strong. Very strong. His arms were so strong as thousands of elephants. So one elephant is strong. If he puts his foot on your head, I don't think anything will be left. That's one elephant. What about 1,000 elephants? So Dhritarashtra's arms were very strong, and he was actually focusing on Duryodhan. Because Duryodhan's main enemy was who? Bhima. Not Arjun, not Yudhishthira, not Krishna. But his main enemy was Bhima. And he made a kind of a statue of Bhima of massive metal. And he was practicing how to kill Bhima. Vidur came to know about the depth of the misery of Dhritarashtra, and he advised the Pandavas not to go there yet because it wouldn't be good yet. Dhritarashtra would need some time. But still, the Pandavas very much wanted to, you know, to console Dhritarashtra. But at a certain point, Vidur said, just wait for a second in this hall. And then he slowly moved the statue and on the place where Bhim would stand, and Dhritarashtra, he heard the voice of Bhim, and he came and he hugged Bhim. But then when he hugged, he used his total power of the arms to crush Bhim. But then he crushed this super strong statue. And when he crushed that, then he felt morose, because only then he could release his anger and his negative feelings. And then he started to cry. And at that moment, Yudhishthir and Bhim and Arjun, they consoled him, and they were, you know. Then Dhritarashtra got aware of the real situation. And then he asked Krishna after this war, he asked why all his sons were killed, why not one was living, not even one. And Krishna said, 50 lifetimes ago, you were a hunter, and while hunting you tried to shoot a male bird, but it flew away. And in the anger that he missed this male bird, he ruthlessly slaughtered 100 baby birds. And this father bird, he had to watch and to see in helpless agony how his 100 children had to be killed ruthlessly, mercilessly, without any consideration of anything. And because you caused that father bird to pain, the pain of seeing the death of his 100 sons, you too had to bear the pain of your 100 sons seeing dying. But you know, Dhritarashtra was blind. How could he see? But he could see through the eyes of Sanjay, and he could not only see, he could also hear. So in this way, he atoned for this misdeed of his. At the same time, Dhritarashtra said, but why did I have to wait for 50 lives? Why not, you know, the life afterwards or in the same life? You know, why did Krishna do that? So Krishna said, you were accumulating punya, pious credits, during the last 50 lifetimes to get 100 sons. It's not so easy to get 100 sons, huh? So because of that, you required a lot of punya, and which took you 50 lifetimes. And in that way, Dhritarashtra accepted the death of his 100 sons, and he became peaceful, and after some time left for the forest and took vanaprastha. So that was about Maya Mayam and the intimate affection of Lord Vishnu. Anyone questions or remarks? Actually, the whole creation, the whole Maya, is meant to give us affection or experience affection of the Lord. Because if we are not covered with the dense illusory energy of the Lord, we would not be able to survive in this hellish situation here. So from time to time, Maya is making place for the affection of the Lord to make us feel a certain Ananda, because we are all very desperate here to look for Ananda. And we cannot find it here, but we have to still stay in this body. And Maya is helping us to, you know, to go through this period of time that we have been assigned to stay here. Otherwise, we would be, you know, we would be miserable every day. We wouldn't be feeling any sparkle of happiness. At the same time, when we feel that sparkle of happiness through Maya, we should understand that this is temporary and that we should continue to search in a balanced way for the real happiness. And the real happiness is, even if you're in this body and in this hellish planet, you have the association of like-minded devotees or people, well, in this case, sadhus, devotees, that we have Radha Gopinath, Jagannath, Gaurnita, Lalita Visha, and that we have the Guru, we have the Shastra, and from that we can only derive the real happiness. Because when we look at the altar, we can see deities. But when we look at the altar with the affectionate relationship that we have with the Lord, we see Radha Gopinath, we see Lalita and Vishakha. We don't see deities. We see Jagannath, we see Baladev, we see Subhadra, and we see Gaurnita. So we see more than what we can experience or see here in the material world. Okay? Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tai Gaur Premananda.